It's Nardwar, the human serviette, here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, at the legendary Warehouse Studios. I'm right beside the board that recorded Nevermind the Bollocks by the Sex Pistols and Band on the Run by Paul McCartney and Wings. And who are you?
I'm Alex Kapranos of Franz Ferdinand.
And what the hell are you doing here, Alex?
I'm producing the Cribs from Wakefield, Northern England. Let's go and meet them.
Who are you?
I'm Gary from the Cribs.
And Gary, who do you have beside you?
Ryan from the Cribs and Ross from the Cribs. They're both my brothers, and that's Alex from Franz Ferdinand.
Now, I would like to know, Gary, what brought Franz Ferdinand and the Cribs together? Was it death? Did death bring Alex and the Cribs together?
Yeah, we all died. That's what we've got in common. We're all dead.
It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah. I thought it was Death Cab for Cutie that brought you all guys together. What's the connection between Death Cab for Cutie and the Cribs and Franz Ferdinand?
That was quite a good one, but Death Cab for Cutie didn't actually bring us together. We played a show with him in England, but we didn't actually meet Alex because he stayed in his dressing room. I think he was scared of us or something. But yeah, then we did the tour with Death Cab for Cutie in America and Canada with Franz Ferdinand.
We toured with Death Cab a long time ago in England, and I'm surprised that they remembered us, really. You know, it was just weird. And then these guys were going on tour with them guys, and we did some shows with these in England, and, you know, I guess they wanted us to go on tour together.
Because I just assumed that you all knew each other, but you actually met the Cribs on tour pretty much, didn't you, Alex?
Yeah, we did. We toured North America together, Canada as well. In fact, we played here in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Now, aside from being a producer and causing pain, didn't you cause Ryan some pain? How did Alex from Franz Ferdinand cause Ryan some pain?
Well, it was indirectly. It wasn't really my fault. It was really Ryan's fault.
Keep telling yourself that.
Why did I cause you pain then, Ryan?
Well, it's all his fault anyway, because like he's, you know, the won an award, but I guess Alex were living it up somewhere around the world.
Australia.
And like, yeah, he was in Australia, you know.
This was the Enemy Awards. The story you've told many times, but I love hearing. So please, one more time, Ryan.
I have told it like many times. Do you want me to show you the thing as well? Like,
when we get to the high point of the story.
Okay, get that camera ready. So they didn't show up to... they were in Australia touring, and so they couldn't get their award. And then somehow it ended up being awarded to us. So... we'd just gone to the awards, just, we weren't going to win anything, but, so I was kind of drunk, and, like, I got on the table and fell over, and, like, a big vase smashed, and, like, stabbed me in the back, nearly killed me.
Did you feel guilty about this, Alex? You didn't accept the award, so the Cribs accepted the award, and then poor Crib gets hurt.
He didn't accept the award or the responsibility. So.
Now, let's see the scar, and it was pretty bad, because I heard when you reached back, you actually felt organs inside your body.
I didn't feel the organs, but it's like my fingers kind of slipped inside, and which kind of gave me a shock. It kind of felt like grabbing meat, basically. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, say if you, like, got a pack of meat and opened it and, like, grabbed it to put it in a pan or whatever.
Let's see the scar, please. Now, could you explain, Ross?
There's a little one there.
Yeah, so. I'll explain. That's a scar from stupid behaviour, and, you know, he's got a mark to show for it now, I guess.
Now, the stupid behavior was at a fairly important award show. Let's bit of background here. This isn't just like a night on the town. This is an important award show, isn't it?
The thing was, you know, I mean, I don't really like award shows that much anyway, and we'd only been there about an hour. I mean, I accompanied Ryan to the hospital the first day. He went to hospital twice. I went the first time. I didn't bother going back. Just he gave me a convenient excuse to get out of it. Plus, I don't know, I'm not naming any names, but someone played a really embarrassing bad song, and I'm glad I wasn't there at that point as well. So Ry got me out of a lot of hassle while putting himself through a lot of hassle, yeah.
And it's amazing, it's all caused by Alex from Franz Ferdinand.
That's right.
Now, Alex, speaking of producer, do you tease the Cribs? Or should I say, does Alex tease the Cribs?
I think we tease him a little bit more than what he teases.
How do you tease Alex? How do you get Alex?
I haven't been teasing anyone, really, and no one's been teasing me. Like, so, I don't know, and someone else can answer.
I think Alex is a very stern but fair producer. That's the only thing to say. He's a good producer.
I guess what I was wondering, Alex, is I heard that Elton John teased Andy from Franz Ferdinand about his keyboard playing.
Ah, he may have done, yeah.
Elton John, is that true? Elton John teasing Andy from Franz Ferdinand?
We played in Las Vegas, and Elton John came down to the show. I didn't see him teasing Andy, but maybe he did.
You should have popped him one for that.
Yeah, what would happen if Elton John teased the Cribs? What would happen if Elton John teased the Cribs?
I've heard Elton John's pretty tidy, actually. I think he can look after himself.
If Elton John teased me, I'd just laugh my ass off. I couldn't care.
Yeah, I'd just ring my mum up and say, you'll never guess who's teasing me at minute. Elton John, you know what I mean? Like, my life has hit a new level of excitement, basically.
Or rock bottom.
I'd tease him for being called Reg.
Yeah, his real name is actually Reg something. You know? I mean, you mouthed the word I was about to say then, which is so weird. But his real name is Reg something. So,
Dwight.
I'm sure it's Dwight. Yeah.
Reg Dwight.
Well, you know.
And he's married to a Canadian too. Some Canadian content. John is married to a Canadian, David Furnish.
Is he?
Yeah, some Canadian connections. And here we are at the Warehouse Studio, which is pretty amazing. Now, Alex, you're a food critic. You've also written books about food and stuff. What's the connection between rock and roll and the Warehouse here? Why did you choose the Warehouse for the Cribs?
Do you want the real reason? Maybe, Gary, you should explain.
I don't want to give the real reason.
The real reason is far too dark, but there are many good reasons to come to Vancouver. It's a city we like hanging about in, and it's a great studio. We've got a fantastic desk, and well, it's like being here.
But come on, the connection between the Warehouse and food, of course.
Food in Warehouse.
And who owns the Warehouse?
Brian Adams.
And where does Brian Adams wash dishes?
Oh, Brian Adams was the dishwasher. Maybe you should explain that.
The Tomahawk restaurant.
Home of the Skookum Chief.
The Skookum Chief hamburger in North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So I had hoped that's why you chose the Warehouse. You were surfing the net and you found out Skookum Chiefs equal Warehouse.
I was on the YouTube message board for MySpace users worldwide. And somehow that linked me onto the Tomahawk's website. And, we were just like, we need the studio near the Tomahawk, really, because to satisfy my meat lust.
Is this place haunted with Brian Adams? Is this place haunted with Brian Adams, Ross?
I've heard some pretty haunting stories about Brian Adams in being in here, but I can't really go into any details. This is like...
The studio's haunted by something, though, you know what I mean? As a sceptical person, I will still... say that I reckon there's something going on in this studio. It's haunted by something that we have no idea about.
Haunted by dreams of you.
Alex, producer of the Cribs, you love Vancouver, don't you?
I do, that's right.
And it means something special to Franz Ferdinand. Is it true the first time you were flashed boobs was in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada?
I think that may well be the case, yeah.
That was Andy from your band got some boobs flashed, and that happened in Vancouver? Could you explain about the boob flashing and the connection to want to come back to Vancouver?
Again, you have to ask Andy. I must say I've never had any boobs flashed at me personally, but Andy...
Sure.
I don't think so. No, I think I must have been another.
Yes, it was when you played in Vancouver at the Pacific Coliseum. Andy got flashed. Do you remember anything about that?
I remember Andy talked about it a lot afterwards. Yeah. I remember hearing about it.
Andy is like the keyboard fifth member of Franz Ferdinand.
That's right, yeah.
And he was bragging how he got to see boobs for the first time ever.
Yeah.
From the stage.
Wow.
Of course, that happens every night with the Cribs, right?
I can't say as it does, actually. No, we don't think we really endorse that sort of behavior, but, you know.
The Canadian content, though, for the Cribs, people may have heard you before on a TELUS commercial.
Yeah, and,
he's been working on this line all week, so let him say it.
Let me put it this way. I wish the publishing company would tell us when they're thinking about spending, letting our music out, so.
Ba-boom, you had no idea.
Ba-boom, man. No, we had no idea. We only knew about when we were on tour with these guys, and it was so weird. I was laid in the bath, and I heard one of our songs come on, and then I heard like Deathly Silence from the living room, and I was like, I had to ask like what were that, and like Ross like one of his songs has just been on a commercial, and was it like, you know, right, I'm getting out of the bath now and trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
I'll at least try and find out if we got paid for that, because
but Canada knows the Cribs through Telus.
Yeah.
And also touring with friends.
Ferdinand.
Alex, friends Ferdinand. I was surprised. You actually saw Canadian band Huevos Rancheros in Scotland?
Yeah, I did. I saw them about 10 years ago. They came over and played in Edinburgh in the Kaz Rock Cafe.
Are they on Mint Records?
Yes, they are. And that's what I find is so amazing is you guys are totally down. And you know, like you're wearing a K Records t-shirt right now.
I am.
And yeah. Alex knows Huevos Rancheros.
I don't know them, but I went to see them.
But still, there's a lot. But still, you went to see them without knowing them. That's amazing. A lot of people won't do that. And there's a lot of bands from England that know nothing about the indie Canadian scene or American scene. It's amazing that you guys actually know something.
There's a lot of ignorant bands in England, you know. Like a lot of bands in England at the minute are like are definitely like have tailored themselves towards the mainstream. So indeed, why would they know about the Canadian indie rock scene? They probably have no interest in it, and absolutely, like, you know.
They know nothing of music outside of, like,
the top 40. Yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Both Franz Ferdinand and the Cribs have had run-ins with the Gallagher brothers.
Have we?
Yes, I think Liam Gallagher called Franz Ferdinand Right Said Fred.
Something like that, yeah.
Now, what did Oasis, the Gallaghers, say about the Cribs?
Well, I don't fully remember. I only heard it on the grapevine. Do you know? If you know about it, I'd like to know.
I heard it. Someone told me that they're on the radio, like, slagging us off. But I reckon the real reason is because when they did their comeback show, the NME said something like, oh, they were really good tonight, but they weren't as good as the Cribs. So I kind of figured that they were probably dislike us after that moment anyway. But
I think they're very sensitive boys, the Gallaghers. You know, like, anything goes against them, they get a wee bit upset, you know.
But didn't they say something like the Cribs don't have enough chords?
They don't play chords in the music, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Which is a ringing endorsement. For instance, saying that Franz Ferdinand are like Right Said Fred and the Cribs don't have enough chords, I mean, to me, that's awesome.
Yeah, we don't really like chords anyway, you know, like.
It's funny, though. I think if Liam Gallagher said he liked your band, you'd probably know it's time to pack it in.
Yeah, because you know they were quite workmanlike music, you make, you know, meat and two potatoes.
There's going to be more harsh words spoken from the Gallaghers to both these bands now. So, yeah.
Alex, Kanye West, have you ever met him?
I did meet him once, yeah.
And what happened?
It was fine, yeah. It was good.
He liked Take Me Out, right, wasn't it? He wanted to work with you or something?
Yeah, I think he liked that tune a lot, yeah.
Now, the Cribs have also had an encounter with Kanye West.
Funny.
How did that differ from Alex's encounter with Kanye West? What's the difference between Franz Ferdinand meeting Kanye West and the Cribs meeting Kanye West?
I think there was a little more intimidation, like, when we met Kanye West. But I think that were, like, because we played a show with him, and I think that, I don't know how this happened at all. I honestly don't know how this happened. We're playing with him at the Paradiso in Amsterdam. And somehow they were supporting us at this venue, which is, I don't know, maybe the promoter in his ignorance had thought that because we were called the Cribs, we were some kind of, you know, gangster rock outfit, you know what I mean? Like,
let's go back for a second. It's the Cribs headlining over
Kanye West.
Now, what did you think about that when you heard about that, Ross?
I didn't know who was Kanye West anyway. You know what I mean? So I didn't think anything of it. I just thought it was
we were calling him Kane West all night, so we thought that maybe the promoter had spelled his name wrong. We thought he was probably called Kane West rather than Kanye. And we just saw it, and like, there were a lot of people in to see his gig after that that obviously had been to see Kanye West, and accidentally on stage we kind of said that he would, like, that what we'd watched of his show was totally rubbish, you know what I mean? And like,
we were a little bit indulgent for our taste, and like, he just managed to somehow air those views on stage, which in hindsight wasn't the best idea, seeing as how he were kind of running the security racket downstairs, like backstage. And
but I still managed to steal a bottle of champagne out of his dressing room, even after all that, you know what I mean? So
there are no repercussions at all? You can diss Kanye West on stage and not get in trouble?
Well, I guess they had bigger fish to fry, yeah. There were a few bad vibes, you know, like... but we're from West Yorkshire, you know. You also
toured with Kate Moss. Did you guys tour with Kate Moss?
I don't think so, no.
I haven't heard that one yet.
I thought you went on tour with Kate Moss.
No, some weird things have happened in the past.
What do you mean? Like baby shambles or something? We did some...
With the Libertines. Has Kate Moss stalked the Cribs?
No, she hasn't. Like, we've done shows with Libertines, yeah, but like that were pre-Kate Moss. There's been like... I mean, I don't know why. It just seems like some people don't really understand.
We haven't talked with
Kate. No, there's been...
Okay, which crib does she like the most? Does Kate Moss like the most?
I have no idea. This is all news to my ears.
Now, from your experiences of meeting Kate Moss, and we know you've met her many times, Alex, right?
I've met her once.
Which crib would Kate Moss like the most after you doing all this recording here and being with the Cribs all this time in Vancouver?
I think she'd probably like all of them.
Very diplomatic. We had a fashion designer who liked us for a while. I don't understand none of that, really.
Cribs, I understand you partied on Snoop Dogg's bus, or you inherited it. What the hell was going on there?
I don't know. He wasn't there. Like for some, we'd hired a bus in America, and somehow with the bus that we'd wanted hadn't been available, so we had Snoop Doggy Dog's bus or something. I don't know how that happened, but it was kind of weird. So.
What did it smell like?
It smelled like Snoop Dogg. I don't know.
What does Snoop Dogg smell like, Ross?
Nope.
Snoop Doggy Dog and the Cribs together, on a bus together.
Kind of smell like wet dog.
No, but Snoop Dogg smokes a pound of weed a day, which is 16 ounces, which is a titanic amount of weed. But the bus smells fresh.
Frankly, a lie.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But, like, I don't know. You wouldn't have much time to do anything else with your day, I wouldn't have thought. And, indeed, after you'd smoked it, you probably wouldn't want to do anything else with the rest of your day. But, like... Still,
sounds like a bit of a setup, doesn't it? Here, ride this bus that Snoop was in and then go across a few borders.
Yeah.
Help smuggle some stuff.
Maybe be the mule, yeah. We were Snoop's mule, and you heard it here first with Nadra, the human servier.
And Alex from France?
Ferdinand.
All here live, recording with the Cribs, did you once cancel a tour because you didn't like the tour bus?
No.
I heard that you cancelled the tour because you didn't like the tour bus.
The most we've ever done is cancel two shows, and it's because I couldn't sing. Like, but that year we did...
Because you didn't like sharing a tour bus.
During that year we did 200 shows, so that's going to be... Oh, okay. Where did you hear that?
I heard you didn't want to share a tour bus, so you cancelled the tour.
That's what happened. The other band didn't want to share...
What band?
Right now, like, it was...
I don't know. Friends of ours.
No, it was an American band. We were supposed to tour America with a band, and I can't remember what they were called now. But they... we had to share a tour bus, so we were like, all right, we'll do it. That's fair enough. And like they were, and then they must have like Googled us or something. They were like, we're not sharing a tour bus. Jeez.
In retrospect, I'm kind of glad anyway, you know. I don't want to share a bus with, like, a band who's going to be, like, really uptight. And, I mean,
only share it with your brothers.
Yeah, with fellas. Yeah, with fellas.
Because you were the Cribs from Wakefield.
England.
Now, I have a quote here about Wakefield, and it goes as follows. I went to Wakefield once. It was closed.
Well, yeah, it's true. I've seen it close a few times. It's one of the only cities in the UK that gets closed down, especially during major sporting events. They close down the town centre. No traffic is allowed in or out. So
the only thing Wakefield's open for is homophobia and casual racism, I think.
Why did he shut it down?
Because
for sporting events.
Because it gets too violent. I was like there one time during... there was some kind of, I think it was like, you know, some kind of footballing event. And I was walking through town and I had my headphones on. And all of a sudden I was aware that there was something wrong. I took my headphones off and there's like a guy stood on top of a bus stop chucking bricks at anyone that's walking past. So like,
and Ross got like attacked by a 40-year-old guy when he was 16 during a football event. We were off to go to band practice. It's just not very. It's kind of backwards, you know. It's like, it's not a very.
Aren't there a lot of prisons there too?
There's one prison like with one of Britain's, you know, most hated murderers in it. Like
we've got, Peter Sutcliffe in there. Peter Sutcliffe, yeah. Ian Huntley.
All the weirdos. All the weirdos.
Charles Bronson's in there. You ever heard of Charles Bronson?
One day, my house used to be right next to the prison, and one night we'd had a party, and I got up the next morning and bought a newspaper, and it said that morning, someone had been found in Wakefield Prison. The cellmate had killed him, cut the top of the head off, and were eating the brain with a spoon. And that had happened while we were having a party, literally, like, 100 metres away, you know. That had happened. Some guy had eaten some other guy's brain with a spoon.
We had Dr. Harold Shipman in there as well. Did you hear about Dr. Harold Shipman? He's like the biggest mass murderer of all time. The Doctor of Doom or whatever. I don't know what the media branded him, but it was something like that.
You must have heard of
Harold Shipman. Bearded chap, like glasses.
It rings a bell, but I was just thinking, can they listen to the Cribs? Like, is there a prison radio? Could they be listening to the Cribs?
Could they
be influenced by the Cribs?
We recorded demos from, like, literally feet away from where they are. Maybe
you just got to hope we're not influenced by them, Nardwuar. You know, that's the thing that you want to worry about.
No, I am Nardwuar, the human serviette. You are the Cribs. We also have Alex and Franz Ferdinand, producer of the Cribs. No, I'm Nardwuar, the human serviette. No, I'm pretty excited. Did you guys once work in a serviette factory?
Yes, we did.
A serviette factory.
How do you know that? I can't. Well, like, true story, and I'm not sensationalizing this.
Well, what is sensational about it? To be honest, you're not going to ever think it's sensational.
Between the three of us, there was a period in between maybe 2001 and 2002 where the three of us were the only people, or we were the main manufacturers of serviettes in England. The three of us.
Also, like, if we go to a restaurant and we see serviettes, we can taste the paper, the napkin paper, and say what quality it is and what part of the world it's from.
It's true. It's honestly true.
Three dudes made all the serviettes in England.
Because in England, people don't manufacture serviettes. It's all done in Eastern Europe because it's a lot cheaper. And I think we had the only machine in England, and we were the only people qualified to be running it. And between us, we were the only people making napkins in England.
So Nardwuar, I've seen the process, starting with, I've seen the process of how you actually make a serviette. The question, it begs the question, how did you actually become the human serviette?
Because in Canada, we call them serviettes, but in the States, they call them...
napkins?
Yes, you get it. So Nardwuar, the human serviette.
Why serviette? I don't get it. I still don't.
In the States, they don't call them serviettes. They call them napkins.
Right.
So when you go to the States and ask for a serviette, they say...
Sorry, mate, we only do napkins.
Exactly, and they get all confused.
Right.
So it's Nardwuar, the human serviette. I'm just honored to be beside the three dudes that created the serviette in England.
We were the serviette.
So are they still out there? Are fans of the Cribs still able to go out there and buy some serviettes and lick them and think that you made them?
I'd definitely say there's probably a few thousand... there'll be some orange 40 by 40... 3-ply ones around, because they didn't sell at all. There'll definitely be some orange ones around, right?
Now, your family, you're all brothers. Your mom, was she in a band in the 60s or something?
Yeah, well, not we're kind of just like a leisure thing, like, where she'd just like do some gigs down the local pub or something like that, but certainly not a successful band or anything like that. So.
Stop slagging it off, man. Have a bit of respect for your mother.
Can you tell that these three are brothers, Alex, after working with them?
Yeah.
How can you tell that they're brothers?
Because they look really similar.
But anything else? Are there any traits? Can you tell them apart?
They all speak in the same way. They've all got kind of similar voices as well when they sing, although we've not really heard Ross sing yet, but they definitely perform in a similar way.
The last time the Cribs were in the studio, you had Paul Cook wander in.
Yeah, we did.
Paul Cook from the Sex Pistols.
Who recorded on that board through there?
Right here at the warehouse.
In Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Yes, and I find it really interesting that you guys have been out on the town and you are now on an Immaculate Machine record.
That's true. That is true.
How did that come about? You're just wandering around Vancouver. Next thing you're singing backups on Immaculate Machine.
Well, we were with you. You were driving us around. We went for a Skookum Chief. And then we went to go look at your organ.
We went to go look at both your organs. Like the small one and the big one.
I still have two. Tom Green only has one.
It's all getting a bit Benny Hill, is this? But then... Yeah, they were in the studio at the time recording.
And you just walked in. Are there going to be any other special guests on this Cribs record at all? I mean, you had Paul Cook at the Sex Pistols in your last one. How about on this record?
He didn't guest on it, though. He just hung around and tried to steal cigarettes off me. But, there'll be some guests on it. Well,
you'd think a guy that got paid £1 million for each gig he did when the Sex Pistols reformed back in 97 would not need to steal cigarettes off the Cribs.
You guys love the Sex Pistols so much. What did you do, Ross? What is the connection between the Sex Pistols and the Cribs for your upcoming record?
We're using the same mixing desk as what Nevermind the Bollocks.
No. The guy that did the artwork for Nevermind the Bollocks is doing the artwork for our record.
Jamie Reed. And he's put out some designs for your approval. What will the album look like designed by the Sex Pistols artwork?
In his mind, it'd be crudely sexual, but not in my mind.
It basically involved the classic schoolboy drawing of a penis.
Like a lemon next to it. So,
Alex in Vancouver producing the Cribs. You ventured to Brazil, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
With Franz Ferdinand, and Don Letts came along.
Oh, that's right. He was making a documentary about.
Who is Don Letts?
Don Letts is a legendary filmmaker. He used to be a DJ. He used to hang about with the Clash back in the 70s, and. And John Lydon as well.
And he was in Big Audio Dynamite.
That's right. He's made a few documentaries about punk and came with us to make a documentary about Franz Ferdinand.
And what exactly does he look like?
Well, he's got very long dreadlocks.
When was the last time he cut his dreads? That's what I was curious about, Alex.
I think it was, I asked him and he said about 35 years ago.
Now, looking at Alex, how long do you think it's been since Alex cut his hair?
20-something minutes, maybe.
No, he's getting an haircut, though, soon, aren't you?
Is the hair falling out from the pressure of working with the Cribs?
It's doing okay.
The opposite effect is growing more.
Yeah, that's right. Just sprouting every day with all the inspiration.
Now, Alex, when you were in Brazil, you were playing with U2, weren't you?
First time we went, we did a couple of shows with them and a few shows by ourselves.
Is there any U2 influence, do you think, on this new record?
I hope to God not, to be honest.
Now, with U2, I heard a rumor that they have a keyboard player hiding underneath the stage. Is this true, Alex?
I've heard that rumor as well, but I didn't see him.
Well, you wouldn't see him. He's under the stage. Yeah.
Exactly. Although to get on the stage, you have to go underneath the stage and they have loads of gear and stuff downstairs. But there were sections that we weren't allowed into. And there is a little changing room bit as well underneath the stage where Bono gets his new sets of togs on for Bullet in a Blue Sky or whatever.
Well, that's where he is then, basically. The keyboard player is hanging about in these rooms. Without a shadow of a doubt.
You reckon in Bono's wardrobe.
Yeah. And we're joking about these gigs, but they were big, weren't they?
I want that, man.
I know, but they were big, weren't they?
I don't know. I want that.
They were big, weren't they, Alex?
Yeah, they were quite big, yeah.
I love to be able to learn stuff from Alex. What have you learned from Alex? I've learned about Don Letts' hair being 30 years old. Incredible.
We've learned that, I don't even know what we've learned about Alex. Something.
What if the Cribs taught you, Alex, as a producer?
I don't know, I'm learning all the time.
Yeah. Early on.
Cribs, there's a rumor going around that the White Stripes, when they recorded at Toe Rag Studios, a vintage place, maybe didn't use all the vintage recording material. Is that true?
Well, we used all the vintage recording material when we were there.
Like, what is Torag Studios versus The Warehouse? Let's do a little comparison here.
Torag Studios is about the size of... it's very small.
Maybe it's about the size of that room through that.
Maybe it's about the size of that room, but you have the control room in there too. It's really great place, you know. I love it there. It uses all, like, old gear from EMI, like Abbey Road Studios and stuff like that. We made the first record there. I can understand why people might say that about the White Stripes, seeing as how that record got played a lot. And the convenient excuse about our first record was that it were too lo-fi for radio. So if you were recording the same place, then surely that's one rule for the
million. And the reputation of Torag is no digital equipment, completely analog, right?
Nothing past the late 60s, apparently.
They don't even have a digital phone. They have an old analog phone with the dial, so it's good. I like it there.
What is Nevermind the Buzzcocks?
It's a TV program back in the UK on BBC.
On that desk through there.
No, that's Nevermind the Bollocks. Nevermind the Buzzcocks is, it's just a TV show of music-based trivia with, you know, the cream of the current, with celebrity guests from the cream of the music world.
All the way to...
Bono.
You! Ryan of the Cribs.
Yeah, I did it. I think I was possibly their most famous guest thus far, like, in the series, you know. You did it once before, though, didn't you, Alex?
No, I've never done it.
Maybe I'll just try and...
Edwin Collins did it.
I'm only lying anyway.
Edwin Collins did it, and he advised Ryan against it, like, passionately. And, like, a couple of months later, Ryan gets the offer. Yeah, all right, whatever.
It was kind of good fun, though. I quite enjoyed it.
You got very good reviews, Ryan. This is a review of Ryan from the Cribs on the legendary TV show Nevermind the Buzzcocks. Ryan's down-to-earth manner and Wakefield drawl are quite endearing.
Well, you know, I'm not going to deny that.
He shows none of the misplaced swaggering of some of his contemporaries.
Too fucking right.
And comes across on screen as likable and funny.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, at least we're giving your viewers what they want, then likable and funny. I hope I'm living up to such a great review by some anonymous person on the internet.
Who may or may not be my mother.
But it sounds like a really nice review, though. It does sound like a nice review.
It is a nice review. I find it flattering.
Now, what about Ryan and Pissin? Didn't Ryan piss in Japan?
Probably, yeah. We were there for like a week, so I guess it is.
Where did you piss in Japan?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's like,
This isn't about the inflatable dog, is it?
No, man. The
inflatable dog?
But there was this one thing. Like, someone posted something about something on the internet which people asked Ryan about that... Apparently, he pissed on an inflatable dog, which never ever happened. Really, why would he do that? Why would anyone do that?
Like, I read all these things on the internet saying, I was there backstage when you pissed on an inflatable dog, and then there were all these replies saying, yeah, I were there too, and then like this other person saying, yeah,
why
I were there when
that
happened.
Why would
anyone
do that?
Well, that never even happened. You know, it didn't
happen. Sounds like it'd be fun to piss on an inflatable dog.
Like, I know for a fact I didn't do it. I remember like things like that, and I know that I didn't do it, and you know I didn't do it.
I know you didn't do it.
But what about in Japan? I heard they closed down washrooms just so you could take a piss.
Yeah.
Like, they loved you so much. When Ryan from the Cribs has got to take a piss, clear the way.
No, we had a policeman stood on the door, and, like, he didn't kick anyone out, but he waited until everyone had gone, and they, like, closed down the bathroom for me. But, I mean, you know, I think that's definitely overkill, you know what I mean? I think that's definitely overkill.
Alex, has a policeman ever escorted you to a bathroom?
Not that I can remember.
Or has a policeman ever arrested you in a bathroom?
Definitely not. No.
You knew where that one was going, didn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say escorted you from a bathroom, you know what I mean? I thought that's maybe where it was going. But, like, yeah, being arrested in a bathroom, that can't be too nice.
Now, what about Hollywood parties, Cribs? Getting bloody at Hollywood parties. What bloodiness did you get at what Hollywood party?
I don't know.
I have no idea. It does ring a bell, actually.
I don't know. We did some, like, hipster parties, like, one time in Hollywood. I guess maybe they got bloody ridiculous, maybe. But maybe that's it. I guess we've been involved in stuff like that against his will.
Cribs, Franz Ferdinand, what the hell happened at the Mint Records Christmas party?
You'd be the one to tell us that, Nod. Well, what did happen?
Check YouTube, then you'll know what happened.
What happened with the Mint Christmas party?
I don't know. I'm not going to say what it was, but what it was is legendary.
We had Alex and Franz Ferdinand on stage singing Take Me Out wearing a tomahawk barbecue toque.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And there was a quote afterwards from Alex saying, "I'm leaving Franz Ferdinand to become a guitar tech for the Evaporators."
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait till I finish producing the Cribs, though.
To verify that.
Yeah.
What did you think of that whole scene in Vancouver? Like, when you guys showed up there, you didn't actually think it was a gig, did you?
No, it reminded me of stuff I used to go to in Glasgow. Stuart Murdoch from Bell and Sebastian used to work as a janitor in a church hall, and he used to do gigs in the church hall where he worked, and it felt really like one of those.
Certainly had a lot more personality than the mass majority of gigs you get in the UK, which is just in, like, you know, just some dirty, like, indie rock night, you know what I mean? Something like the Mint Records party was definitely a lot better.
Were you guys freaked out, though? Because here you are walking through Vancouver, and it was like a residential neighborhood, and then you walk in. Didn't you guys think it was a house or something like that?
I just thought it was a house party that we'd gone to. Like, oh, nice. I was quite pleased about that, you know what I mean? I thought it'd be kind of nice to see a house party, but then watching this really nice, like, it looked like a school assembly hall or something, so I don't know. Yeah, I quite liked it there.
Now, in a great Spinal Tap moment, Gary was not present on stage. Where was Gary?
Like any real man, I was hiding behind my girlfriend, so.
I was trying to point him out, see, though. I could see him. I was trying to point him out, but he never got caught.
So it was the Cribs, the Evaporators, and Franz Ferdinand up on stage. Who else have you jammed with? In past, who else have you jammed with?
Bobby Conn joined us for a show. Bobby Conn joined us for a show one time. That was fun. There's people always like do stuff like that, you know.
In the Libertines once, I suppose.
Yeah, he played with Hidden Cameras for a little while.
Oh, yeah, I used to be in the Hidden.
You played with Hidden Cameras?
Yeah, Canadian band. Very, very good band. One of my favourites.
And how about you, Alex? Who else have you jammed with? Now that you jammed with the Cribs and the Evaporators, who else have you jammed with?
Don't know. Also jammed with the Strokes once. They came backstage to see us after a gig at Ali Pali.
Have you ever jammed with a band where the bass player was shirtless? Have you ever done Take Me Out with a shirtless bass player?
I have, once in my life, once and once only. And that was with the Evaporators in the Ukrainian Hall, Vancouver, British Columbia.
And the guy was from Canned Ham, which is weird, because he, like, Canned Ham toured with Bobby Conn, who produced some of our first record, and who I knew quite well, so it all comes full circle.
And Canned Ham also opened up for Neil Hamburger.
That's a good Nadwa segue.
And also, I would like to give you guys a little present for being so indie. Here we have a little gift. This is an original poster. Beat Happening playing in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
With
because you love Beat Happening.
Operators and Mechanical. I do like Beat Happening.
Why do you like Beat Happening? You're wearing a K Records shirt. What's the importance of Beat Happening and K Records?
Well, for me, it's kind of, we grew up in Wakefield, as we said, and like back in the days when I used to want to be in a band, like in the 90s, like in the mid 90s, whatever, it was difficult to find anyone you wanted to play in a band with, or anyone who wanted to play in a band for that matter. And like, so we kind of spent time like playing in bands, which is a big compromise, you know, like people who wanted to rock out and like do all this stupid shit we didn't want to do. And so when we got this band together, it was really liberating to be able to do that. Like,
let's just try and be like Beat Happening.
Just like, no, just like anti rock. We spent so much time in like with people who wanted to rock, you know, just like they were the only kids you could find in Wakefield who wanted to play music. And like, we never really wanted to be in a rock band, you know, like, and Beat Happening, they're just kind of a good antidote to the old like rock posture and all that shit that we were never interested in. So,
and Beat Happening helped lead the way.
Yeah.
Men's problems, women's problems, who cares?
This is all true, yeah.
It's also not the title of the album, but it was it was a good attempt. You know what I mean? It was
men's
good.
Needs, women's needs, whatever.
Now, speaking of women's needs, Franz Ferdinand de Cribs toured together. Lastly here, Catherine Zeta-Jones. What's the connection there? What's going on? Did you have some run-in with Catherine Zeta-Jones?
I don't know. Maybe Alex might know some about this.
She compared Saturday Night Live when we were on it.
And how about you guys? Weren't you there? Like, wasn't there some connection between you guys and Catherine Zeta-Jones? Like, when you were on that tour, because it was the Cribs, Death Cab, Franz, you know.
I never ran into her, but I don't remember anything.
I had Dustin Hoffman showed up once, but, like, that's not Catherine Zeta-Jones.
What is it? I don't know. Maybe it is.
And what did Dustin Hoffman do?
He ate catering on his own, and he had catering closed off, apparently.
Which but is a weird thing to do. That's like me going round to his house and saying he can't come in the kitchen.
No, what Dustin Hoffman did was not actually show up.
Alex from Franz Ferdinand, the Cribs. I was wondering, one last question for you.
Nod one. This has gone on for long enough. We've got an album to finish here. We need to put down some vocals. We need to do it now. Come on, let's go. All right, Cribs, vocals. I'm a realist. Take one. Thanks, guys. Very good. Very good. I don't know. It's missing something. I don't know what it is. We've got the British sound, but it needs more. We know what we need. We need a bit of British Columbia in those vocals. Nardwar, get through there now. That was perfect. And keep on rocking in a free world. And. Doot till a doot do.